following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Tommy John. Look, a lot of us now, our biggest decision of the day is, what Tommy John underwear or loungewear am I going to wear today? Gio.
Second Skin. I went full Second Skin today. Second Skin crew neck, Second Skin boxer briefs, the midways as Adam calls them. There's some other loungewear that's catching my eye on Tommy John's website as well.
Yeah, Gio went full Second Skin, very Hannibal Lecter of him, but I don't blame him. It's so comfortable, breathable, cool, and everybody needs to treat themselves to some Tommy John. Just get a few pairs of underwear or loungewear, whatever you want. It's the softest, most breathable fabric you'll ever wear. So make sure to go to TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, May 16th, 2020. The show where we play some of the greatest moments of the Adam Corolla Show with clips. So nice. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Corolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, Superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. This weekend's all unfinished business with Corolla Classics.
That's right. And you will find out how in a great way. But first off, Gio, I want to wish you a happy Whiskey Day.
Well, happy Whiskey Day to you as well.
Thank you. Yeah, because today is a special Corolla Classics coming to you on World Whiskey Day, presented by our friends at Screwball Whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, enjoy the show. It's the finest whiskey. It's peanut butter flavored, so it goes down so smooth. Also, whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. So go to geico.com today. All right, Gio, we got some great clips for you. The first one we have features Dr. Bruce. I love when Dr. Bruce comes in. It's always fun when Brian... I don't think you like when Brian shoehorns the intro into the middle of one of Dr. Bruce's sentences.
I feel like it's just an old lazy joke at this point. It's kind of like, I don't have the heart to tell Adam, but G's V, I hate that bit. Like, it was
you
funny.
Do?
It was kind of funny as a radio bit when it's T's V, and then A's V just doesn't work. G's V just doesn't work. It's a bit that just needs to go away.
Then you and I disagree, because I love G's V, and I love
well,
the tell Dr.
G's
Bruce
said
intro.
That. You're going to have to meet with HR.
I am HR.
I was going to say, I'm HR. You're like, what?
All right. Well, let's get going with the first clip. What do we have today?
This is a funny one. I was looking for some classic rants that didn't make it into Ace Awards. And I was looking for Rant of the Year nominees and stuff in old Superfan sidebars. And I found this one dubbed the Fiery Orb Rant from a Q&A segment from Adam Carolla's show 1532. Jason Shapiro was the guest, but he's not in yet. Dr. Bruce is in doing a health watch. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, March 2015. Caller has a comment and suggestion about some music, and it leads into this crazy rant and then back into music. Check it out.
Hold on. Hillary's calling from Seattle. Hillary?
Yeah. Hey, oh my God. This is a music question that bizarrely relates to what you guys were just talking about. Couldn't have planned it better myself. I recently heard a song by a duo called The Uncluded. And it's called Organs, and it is about organ donation, which I thought was really awesome. It's actually a really cool song. You guys should check it out. But it made me think about you, Adam. I know you've mentioned, like, hey, instead of click it or ticket and shit like that, we should say, hey, donate your organs, like things that are useful or bringing people's attention to this.
Well, do you want to talk about most people that give their own organs are going to die on the highway? And considering other people are all passing through the highway, and 99.999 of the people who pass under the sign that say click it or ticket already have their seatbelt on or will not do it under any circumstances. So thus, it's a zero in terms of social impact. Why not say become an organ donor?
Again,
our city doesn't give a fuck about anyone who lives in it. They're just there to be heroes. But go ahead.
Okay. sorry, LA.
It's a shitty town. It's not run correctly. When you go to Seattle, when you go to Portland, when you travel around, and then you get back in LA, you go, oh, as I'm winding, you know, I'm taking Waze trying to fucking get my way to the airport today from Glendale. I'm off the 2 freeway. I'm working my way through Alvarado to get back onto the 101. And oh, there's another homeless encampment. Mm. I mean, in the middle of Hollywood, like
Thunderdome.
We're fucking a third world nation. It's the barbed wire around the freeway signs and the homeless encampment under the freeway overpass, and then there's a multi-million-dollar house that's a quarter mile away on the hill. Yeah. It's insane. Okay, anyway. We can't.
All right, well, anyways. Oh, what?
We have.
Don't interrupt him, Hillary.
We have huge camps of homeless people filling the streets.
Blocks.
And they're not living in refrigerator boxes. They have tents. Mm-hmm. They're pitching tents outdoors. That is no problemo. You light a fucking Marlboro light up on the beach, you will be cited.
Yeah.
What? Or you can defecate in the street and be fine. Okay. We're fucking insane. We're fucking insane. Okay, here we go.
What's your question, Hillary?
Got derailed.
Oh, speaking of derailed, there's no light rail system in this city. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
We're the only fucking... Who else? What other city...
Tangent.
What other city doesn't have a rail system to the airport? Mm-hmm. What other major city... in any major country, does not have a way to get from the city to the airport.
It's absurd.
It's insane.
Just have the rail that goes right into the airport.
Right. I can tell you exactly what's going on. I was in New York. It was snowing the entire time. I was in Portland and Seattle. It was raining the entire time. I got off. I got out of the airport and looked around for my car in the parking structure. It was 84 degrees. Hmm. That's what you got. The rest... you're on your fucking own. We figured out really quickly that we went, hey, you want to go to Seattle? You're under 3 feet of water. You want to go have fun in New York? Have fun shoveling your driveway. Or you can come here, and we got this thing called a fiery orb. Yeah. It's in the sky. It makes us warm. Now, as far as the light rail, the monorail, the homeless shit, the potholes, the taxes, fuck that. Fuck that. We got a fiery orb. We have a fiery orb in the sky. We don't have to do shit. What do you want, a school system? We got fiery orb. Have fun. Have fun trying to find it when you go back east. That's what we got. Sorry.
Do you think it has anything to do with the taxi union? I'm real into conspiracy theories today, apparently.
No, everything in LA is this.
Are they run by the fiery orb?
It's the hot, we're the fucking hot blonde who doesn't study.
Right.
We're the fucking hot blonde that goes, what do I need to fucking crack a book for? What do I need to put the time in?
It's
what do I need to
degrees.
Sit in the
light?
It's 82 degrees. We got, oh, there's a place called Malibu. There's a place called Gladstone on the beach. You just go sit there and eat Dungeness crab all fucking day in the fucking middle of February. Go ahead. That's what we have.
Fiery orb.
You think this blonde is going to crack a book? We have the fucking fiery orb in the sky. What do we need to study for? Well, we don't need to return anything. We don't need to have school systems. We have a fiery orb. Thank you.
Hillary, your question?
Mm-hmm. Hillary? Oh, what happened to Hillary?
She's defeated.
She's fine. Let's see. Hillary?
Are there any songs, Adam, that you feel like convey a social message or commentary like that you actually think really hit the mark or resonated with you? And then
here comes the sun, bitch!
Sub-question, what makes songs that actually hit home different from the songs that are kind of blowhardy and are just like...
For me, you know, Here Comes the Sun, honestly, is a pretty good song.
It's a great song.
What popped into my head is What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, because it's a great song. It's got a great tempo and a great beat, and it's a, you know, I hate, believe me, John Lennon with the Give Peace a Chance. It's a piece of shit, but this is a much better song. Much better song to give peace a chance because it's much more interesting. You can tell John Lennon was either high or just a blowhard. you know, all we are saying. It's like, shut the fuck up. This is a much better version. It's just more interesting. It's more nuanced. It takes different turns.
I like this song.
And it has a perfect mixture of produced without overproduced. It's got a little frayed edge on it, like when you listen to the drums on it. All right, we're just going to hear the drum beat, and then we'll tune out. I love this part. All right, a thousand times better than Give Peace a Chance. No, we're saying Give Peace a Chance.
How about We Are the
sucks.
World? We Are the World. Ebony and Ivory. Those are the greatest.
And right. What about, speaking of new favorite message songs, what about Trevor Moore's The Ballad of Billy John that we played the other day?
I love
that's
that.
That's my new favorite message song.
I love that song. As horrible as it is, I played it for my wife and kids.
That's great.
I can't stop sending
kids.
It to people. Oh,
my
wow.
kids.
Wow.
Oh, they've heard enough.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They live
it's
with
just
me.
Kinda, like, yeah, kind of tame, actually.
Yeah.
Gina, you know it's a song from our generation. Maybe not the song so much, but back when videos were a big thing on TV. Remember the Runaway Train video for Soul Asylum?
Oh, yeah, Never Coming Back. Yeah.
They took their big like moment of fame, their big hit single, and they made a video. I don't know if you remember this. But, it was all missing kids.
Yeah, kidnapped children.
Kidnapped children, missing kids. And I think a number of those kids were found.
Really?
Well, I mean, a few of them, I think.
It was
always
makes
a legend.
Sense. They run it enough.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. It was nice that like a big band like that used their big moment to sort of promote these missing kids.
Yeah, instead of the little lesbians in the bumblebee outfits. Not doing anyone any help.
It's only one lesbian.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I know you mean.
There's no group that it benefits is what I'm saying. All right. Sorry. Hillary?
Yeah, hey.
What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding?
That's it? That's the one? I'm kind of surprised. I don't know why. I would have, well.
Listen, it's mainly because I like the song.
I know, right? Is that the difference?
Fuck you, Hillary.
Jesus Christ. What do you?
I don't know. Like, is it something? Is being more specific and touting a specific cause, is that more helpful?
Well, there's not
like,
too many of those.
Yeah,
songs.
There's one that tells you how to build a desalinization plant.
Oh no! Like, I don't know. Okay, so
do
I'm from
compost
Seattle,
mulch.
Same love. That's a specific issue. Even
what?
Like,
what love?
Same love.
Oh, the McLemore song.
Same love, the gay rights.
That's a great song, actually. It was a hit.
All right, yeah. But
there's not too many of those. There's a very small handful.
Well, but like, what would you put Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire"? That's a little bit like commentary in there. I don't know. That's
no,
saying something. I mean, they are just sort of like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
No, that's like you're drinking a cappuccino and flipping through a history book.
Goodbye.
I'm not interested.
Goodbye.
All right. Listen, first off. By the way, all we're saying is Give Peace a Chance is 40 years old. Has it done shit? You know what I mean? It's not like we pumped it into ISIS headquarters and that a complete change of heart. Yeah. Now, all those songs do is work on people that don't...
Are receptive to
the
message.
You're preaching to the choir.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So it's for jack-offs to feel good about themselves, but it doesn't do anything. What the fuck? When does that ever do anything? Or I don't know. Maybe we'd have 30% more world violence if we didn't have that song. Yes.
And that was Dr. Bruce and one of Adam's classic rants back in 2015, and I love that you have found that one because we only remember the ones that make it on YouTube or make it into the Ace Award, so it's nice to find something that we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, it's like, who definitively is picking this? It's like Mike Lynch. It's like, how busy was Mike Lynch that year?
Yeah, well,
how busy was the staff that year?
I could kind of be like,
oh, you guys, all your picks happen to be from the last 8 months here. What are those first four months?
Well,
so you guys aren't like definitive body on picking clips. Sometimes things slip through the cracks.
How dare you insult the Academy? Also,
I hate the Academy.
For those
wondering, about the Academy.
How we do come up with the clips? We actually pick a lot of them, most of them in real time. I'd say about 95% of the awards. We're emailed to us in real time because if we hear a good moment, we send an email and remind ourselves when we archive it. Hey, mark this. Mm-hmm. This could be best rant of the year. This could be best caller. This could be best point shitting. And then we revisit them all around November to see if we were right. And then so it goes through a double filtration process.
It's shocking how many you guys get. You guys mail like 90%+ of all the great stuff. But there's always some little extras that slip through.
I know. And that's what Corolla Classics is for. Also,
we catch Adam Carolla's parasites that otherwise are forgotten.
See? So nice. Got to remind everybody, too, if you own or rent your home, then of course it could be hard work. But you know it's easy? Geo does.
Bundling your policies with Geico, home, auto insurance, whatever else you got.
That's right. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and you see how much you could save. How easy is it?
It's Geico easy. It's Geico easy.
That's right. Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. All right. This next clip, we're going to go a couple years ahead to 2018 and get a little nugget of what society was like back then.
It's Gina's News, just two stories. Adam Carolla Show, 2243. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, no guest, guestless episode. This is from January 2018. Gina's stories on the Women's March, which Adam kind of supports, and the Delta Airlines pet update policy, which Adam does not support.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Give news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, another women's march took place Saturday in cities across the United States, along with parallel rallies all over the place, Europe, Asia, Africa. Here in Los Angeles, well, I heard estimates of 600,000, but they're reporting 300,000 people showed up downtown to support various causes.
You broads always exaggerate.
I know, right? Twice as much. By celebrities, activists, celebs like Eva Longoria, Alfre Woodard, Viola Davis, Natalie Portman, Scarlett Johansson were all in attendance, gave some rousing speeches. And
wow, that's a big...
Big
crowd. A big turnout.
Yeah.
In downtown, we're looking at a picture.
Is this downtown LA, Chris? Yeah. So pulled a couple of clips. Natalie Portman, she talked about, you know, her big first movie was The Professional, right? That was, talking about kind of going through puberty on screen during that time, having her, you know, commenting on her boobs. And, you know, she's kind of going through that transition and being sexualized.
That was like the pretty baby of our time.
In a way, yeah.
So,
like, it was a kind of a risque movie in the sense like that she was
Brooke Shields, basically, pretty know, 12-year-old living in a whorehouse
does
or
not
something.
Hold up.
It's a weird movie.
Parading her around on a tray.
But, yeah, this is Natalie Portman, like, 13 or something.
It's a really good movie, too.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So this is her talking a little bit about how she, the kind of backlash and the kind of life she chose to lead after all that sort of sexual attention.
I understood very quickly, even as a 13-year-old, that if I were to express myself sexually, I would feel unsafe, and that men would feel entitled to discuss and objectify my body to my great discomfort. So I quickly adjusted my behavior. I rejected any role that even had a kissing scene and talked about that choice deliberately in interviews. I emphasized how bookish I was and how serious I was, and I cultivated an elegant way of dressing. I built a reputation for basically being prudish, conservative, nerdy, serious, in an attempt to feel that my body was safe and that my voice would be listened to.
So that's
I gotta
her
say,
story,
if
yeah.
there was a terrorist attack in downtown with that group there, my list of women who'd be most disgusted by having sex with Adam would be devastated.
Obliterated.
There'd be nothing.
We'd have to murder
I'd have
an
to turn to like family members. There'd be nothing there.
Wow.
There'd be nothing on that list.
That's
Lynette would be
point.
The only surviving member
the list.
Of, she'd be the only one left in the top 10.
Yeah.
We have to keep her in a remote location while this is going on.
She couldn't travel at the same time as the number two girl. You know, they couldn't, like the guys who knew the recipe to Coke or something.
Sure,
you know
sure.
what I mean? They just couldn't travel at the same time.
No, that's true.
It'd be devastating to the list.
Yeah. We can't have that.
Have that.
I pulled another clip. So this
It'd be
is,
the day the list died.
Yeah. That's what it would be remembered as.
Not the day that all the women.
Yeah.
Man. So Scarlett Johansson spoke and...
Oh, my God, the list.
I know you're shocked.
Oh, the list.
The poor list. What's
just,
to become of the list?
Let's not have any more of these rallies. I'm not saying something's going to happen. I'm saying if.
Yeah.
I just, it's not responsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're playing with fire. It was Russian roulette.
Why are we giving an op? Why are we even holding the list out and putting it in jeopardy with these kinds of rallies? And then you start including, oh, they did the same thing in New York. Now all the New York-based list people are there.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I'm upset.
I know.
I'm like a mother. don't ever do this, Brian. You'll be tempted.
Okay.
You'll be tempted to do this because I'm now sounding like a woman, which is this. You'll go out with Tessa and you'll go to the mall and there'll be some story where you go into the Froyo place and you turn around and she's not behind you. And then you've got to look around and then then somebody found her and brought her over to the whatever. And you think that's a good story to tell Christy.
Yeah.
No, it is not. Because
the one trying to return her
women
was a kindly
react
old grandma.
As if she's still lost. Yeah. Like they don't get the part where you did this
she's
and
right
then
here.
You did that and then she's right there.
She's
it's like,
to tell
and
the
you
story.
Did what? And she's, oh my God. Oh my God. And you did what? You will be exactly.
Let's go find her.
As in trouble.
It'll work if you say, it's like if you're saying, like, I was going down the highway and the guy was pulling out of his driveway and he was texting and I swerved and I just they treat that the same as you going, I T-boned this guy.
And then I backed over.
I'm calling you from the hospital.
And I backed over. The reaction's exactly the same in terms of what your participation was, regardless of. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm doing now with this.
With the list.
With the list, which is there was no terrorist activity or there wasn't a giant earthquake or natural disaster or tsunami. But I'm acting as if there was.
You're emotionally responding.
Okay. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So here's a Skojo clip. And she doesn't say it directly. And she obviously, it's coded in a way. But the headlines from her speech where she, quote, throws shade at or sort of subtly outs James Franco specifically. So this is the clip that people are talking about from her.
In light of the recent revelations regarding abuse of power and sexual harassment and the question of consent versus coercion, I find myself pensive, taking time and digging deep to understand where we are and how we got here. My mind baffles. How could a person publicly stand by an organization that helps to provide support for victims of sexual assault while privately preying on people who have no power?
Oh, that's a Franco
thing. I want my pin back, by the way.
So that's who people are assuming that was about.
Mm. Yeah. You know what my dream job is?
What? I thought you were doing it.
Scarlett Johansson's mic holder?
rally organizer.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, I don't have to form any thoughts or write anything down. I'm in every single shot.
Mm-hmm. People are thanking you
I'm
all the time.
I'm kind of the hero. Yeah. I'm doing a lot. I can say whatever I want. Like, hey, camera guy. No, over there. Yeah, sweetie, come here. Come here, Scarlett. Here we go. And I'll stand there. I do a lot of, like, head nodding. Yep. I do a lot of tisking. And you're doing your stuff, and I'm doing my, and I get to be kind of the hero. I'm never really under the gun, and nobody ever is going to single me out because I'm sort of anonymous.
And also, I feel like there's not a lot of competition in the rally organizer game. There's 10,000 podcasts. How many rally organizers are
That's
there?
Right. That's right. I could dominate that space.
That's a good idea.
And
you're always ahead of the game.
And there's not even an award show that can get that many A-listers out on a Sunday afternoon to go yak it up out in daylight there. But you do this, you get everyone's coming to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them out
then
in a moment.
You get to do stuff like this where it's like, hey, J-Lo, let's keep it to a tight 8 because Natalie Portman is going before you. She's got a heart out. Like, you get to start setting an order with A-list people. People never let you into their house.
Right. Yes.
You'd never be invited to one of their cocktail parties or anything. But now all of a sudden, you've got a list and you're telling them what order to go in. I'll shine the flashlight. I'll click it once. That'll mean tell your last rape story. And then if I click it twice, we're just going to shut the mics off.
I'll cut your mic cord.
Cut your mic cord. All right.
That's a good idea.
Gina, you must have been there, right?
I wasn't.
What?
I know.
There's a rally and you weren't there?
Well, last year, you know, I really did want to see what it was about. And, you know, and like I said last year, it was a feel-good event. It wasn't streamlined as to why people were there. It seemed like people were there for various reasons and various different activists and speakers and signs. And it was a cool vibe, you know, no trouble.
But why
I don't think
not?
There were any arrests.
There's never going to be any trouble.
No, it was
Why not this year?
I've had a lot going on in my personal life that I have not spoken of.
I'm going to treat you exactly like one of my mom's friends.
Move on.
Perfect.
Linda had to go in and have a procedure done. She was out. It's in office. She didn't have to check in, but it was a procedure. Okay, great, fine. Godspeed.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it. People think I'm cold. But
you're disinterested.
I don't want to be burdened with all the, and then people start crying. Is there something you want to talk about?
It's possible I could start crying. Is that going to make you uncomfortable?
It kind of is.
Okay, so we'll talk about it when I'm out of the woods.
All right, but why don't you speak to me off the air if you need anything
decide.
From me.
Thank you.
Speak to Matt, and Matt will relay
Matt
it to
will send
to
an
Adam.
Email.
He'll get on
I
the
appreciate
calendar.
That.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Tell your troubles
I'm fine,
to Matt.
By the way. I'm fine.
All right.
Just, it's just life, man.
You're off the hook, man.
Yeah, thank you. All right, should we move on?
rally stuff. All right, so it's all going to change from this point forward?
Everything's going to be different.
All right. Yeah. Fantastic.
I like
guys
the
will stop
I like the
acting
signs.
Like guys.
A lot of great
they
signs.
A lot of good signs.
Always
oh, they
good
did?
Signs.
Yeah, always good signs.
Yeah.
So I feel about those rallies the same way I feel about guys that are like diehard whatever fans. Like I just sports. You pick your team. Like you live and die with your soccer team or whatever it is. I just feel like what's the end game? Like what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Like how's this gonna? My team wins. My team loses. I don't seem to.
How am I affected?
I'm totally into. Anything I can affect, but anything I think doesn't move the needle. I have zero interest in it, and this doesn't move the needle. But it makes him feel good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I agree with you 99.9%, but I've noticed from the last rally, and I don't
out
know
if
this
200%,
is right. Out of 200%?
Yeah. It's a little bit less than half.
Teeny tiny bit. That it just seems like the visual...
Yeah,
of seeing all those
it's impressive, and
they,
I agree. I agree. It'll help with whatever the guys thought. There's two parts. First part is hopefully it'll get a lot of guys to think about how they behave at work. The second part is since they started. Having the mandatory sexual harassment meetings in every business with more than 5 employees, sexual harassment cases have gone up 5,000%.
They told you how to do it.
They, I think they turn the women into victims a lot of the time. They've had them look at things through the prism of, wait a minute, I've been what formerly was a joke is now an assault, and now I must file a claim. And I hate anyone to feel like a victim. That's why I want actual victims to be empowered and to take care of business. Mm-hmm. But I'm not interested. I have to say it's the same thing I say about the black community. Anyone who's been truly wronged by a cop or a teacher or whatever, by all means, go take care of business. But I don't want everybody to feel like a victim simply because they're black or Hispanic or whatever color. Or whatever faith or whatever that is. Right. I don't feel like it's constructive for them to go through life that way.
Wait, more than 5 employees? Can we have one? It would be so fun.
We do it on the air.
Yes.
Oh, they're so brutal.
Everyone's going to come out against me. So it's going to work.
All right.
One
more.
Well, this one has been tweeted to me, and I'm sure you, Adam, more than anything in the last couple of months. Rather than wait for federal regulations, Delta Airlines unveiled its own tighter rules Friday for passengers flying with emotional support animals that increasingly disrupt flights, according to USA Today. So the airline carries about 700 assistance animals a day. And the carrier says animals are increasingly misbehaving, wandering the cabin, pooping on the floor, biting people. So Delta's
they're
rules.
They're literally becoming arcs. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Two by two. They're literally flying
arc.
Aluminum and composite material arcs. Literally. They're literally 37,000 foot, 577 nautical miles per hour arcs.
Yeah.
Lest you think arcs. He's exaggerating for comedic effect. No.
They're literally
Google it.
They're literally arcs made of titanium.
Sure.
Arcs.
Wow.
With two Pratt & Whitney jet engines strapped to each side, capable of several hundred thousand foot-pounds of thrust.
Arcs.
Arcs.
Literal arcs.
Literally. We're literally flying arcs. They're arcs.
Unbelievable.
There's got to be someone in Delta who listens to this show, because they had winning The Racing Life of Paul Newman on the entertainment thing last time I flew Delta. And now this?
A fan.
Something's up.
Yes.
Something's up.
So Delta's rules for traveling with service and comfort animals, this is going to all change on March 1st. They're going to require documentation confirming the safety and necessity of the animal 48 hours before the departure. And the passenger must provide a veterinary health form or vaccination record for either category of animals. For comfort and psychiatric service animals, it's going to be a little more work. You have to have a letter signed by a doctor or licensed mental health professional stating the passenger's need for the animal and a signed letter stating the animal is trained to behave without a kennel.
Okay, one thought. They're just making it harder to do it. More barriers to entry, course. More pain in the ass, more less people will do it. There will be confrontations at the airport. You mark my words,
they
after
didn't
March
get the memo
1st,
on March
there will
2nd.
Be confrontations.
Right.
You know, people freaking out. With the dog. Okay, they brought the dog, and they brought the whatever.
The little vest.
And they didn't bring the proper documentation.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if
you lowered the speed limit by 10 miles an hour on January 2nd.
Yeah.
There'd be a whole bunch of people going, I didn't know what was going on. Nobody said anything to me. I always drive 55 miles. I always drive 50. Nobody, I never got the, there's going to be that.
Right.
A lot of that.
We'll do those.
Good losers. God, people are so sad and pathetic and weak. And why advertise? Like, I can never understand why you're advertising to other people that you're so weak and so soft. It's like I sat next to a woman and I was like, oh, what's the dog for? First class. Obviously, the dog fought with another dog that was going to the back at my feet. A goddamn dog fight broke out, literally, at my feet in first class. And
it's all about the experience.
She's like, you know, I just said to her, what's the dog do? And I wish she would have just said, I have spina bifida, and he like reminds me to take my medication or something like that. But she's like, oh, emotional support. You know, and I'm like, you're a middle-aged woman. Like, why are you saying I'm wired. My wiring is so effed up that I can't get on a flight.
I can't do this thing.
And go to Portland.
112 other people.
First off, I know it's technically possible because I've seen it. I've seen people fly without their dogs.
Many times.
There's a couple on every
many
flight.
Many times. Number two, I know this is completely unnecessary, and I'll file it under all the helmets that are on all the toddlers. If it didn't exist 10 years ago, then it's unnecessary. I traveled the country with Dr. Drew every weekend playing colleges, including our own Kansas, all over the country. I've never saw a dog on a flight ever. So what have we devolved that much in the last 9.5 years emotionally? No. The answer is you can't fly with a dog. But I need him for support. All right. Well, then you can't fly. I know they can fly. First off, it's a super simple equation, right? What's the over-under on all the people that absolutely need their dog to fly? Like, I just can't emotionally tolerate getting on an airplane without my dog. Okay, how about if I gave you a voucher and you could fly to San Francisco for free? Leave the dog at home. Well, now guess what? It doesn't work that way with pancreatic cancer.
You don't get to just get a voucher and go,
well, that'll just go away. No, this magical, invisible thing that you've decided to do in your life, it could all go away with a couple of vouchers easily. For some people, it'd be like free cashews.
Yeah.
They'd leave their goddamn dog at home. So F all of you. You don't need your dog. This is insane. It's insane that we must make these rules, and it's us devolving, and it's also the adults stopped being adults. That is where this happened. That's when all of this happened. The adults needed to say to the crazy whoever's, no, you don't fly the dog. That's it. Well, but I need him support. Well, then take a bus
or a train
or whatever, or drive, whatever it is.
I went over this list of new requirements with a friend of mine who flies with her dog. And I was checking.
Hey, friend?
No, actually. But I was going through it and she was like, Fine. I read the list and I said, a signed letter that's stating the animal's trained to behave without a kennel. And she's like, ew. So that one apparently is going to be tough.
The dog actually has to be trained?
Yeah.
What's the fact that I don't want to fly with your dog? What about me?
What about my ticket?
Do I get a break on my ticket? You get to fly for free with your goddamn dog. I pay full freight. Mm-hmm. How about you fly with your dog for free and you back off $30 from my ticket because I have to fly with your dog?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I just pay the same amount you pay, but you fly with your dog. And you got to pay to get an extra bag checked or whatever mm-hmm. we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
It's listen, everybody, all you have is personal dignity. That's really all you have. All you have is dignity. You can have cars, you can have watches, you can have money, you can have kids, you can have a wife, you can have a house, you can have everything and a dog, but really what you have is a personal dignity.
It's our last line of defense in this society.
It's all you really take with you every single day, wherever you go. The one constant is dignity. And you think about it, like, let's just talk about dignity. I would kill myself if I said to people, like, hey, I'll see you at noon on Wednesday. And they went, oh, well, that doesn't mean anything to me because you're the guy who never shows up. Mm-hmm. Or if I said, you paid for dinner last time, I'll pay for it this time. And they went, no, I paid for it the last five times and you've never paid for it. Like, I would, or hey, I need plumber guy to come over to my house pronto because we got a backup. And the plumber guy's like, I'm not going over there. I don't work for you. I've been there a few times. You mistreated me. You didn't pay me. I said it was $100. It was just already cheap. You haggled. Eventually said, put 75 on the table. If I had that, I would kill myself. That's all I have, and all you really have is dignity. And then after that, it turns into some money and some relationships and some whatever. But that's your base. And we are so eager to part with that for a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to save a couple of bucks. Like, hey, mama, hey, dad, you don't want to make your kid breakfast? Good. Let LA Unified. They'll give them some crappy gelatinous crap that'll poison them. And you'll save 61 cents a day, along with however much time it takes to scramble an egg in a pan, 81 seconds and a dollar. Good. Check your dignity. Your kid can go, and by the way, have fun with your kid and his and her relationship with dignity when they have to give a ticket to the lady with the hairnet and have the other kids who are sitting there eating their McMuffins over there watching he or she do that. Have fun with dignity, everybody, and stop it. And stop saying you're a victim and stop saying you got a target on your back and stuff. That's why I don't like any of this talk. I find it humiliating when commentators sit around and get into this nonsense about people are gunning for me and stuff. Just shut up and go to work with your dignity, with your dignity. That's all you have. That's really all you have. And it's the only thing that really lives on when you're dead.
Yeah. Legacy.
What goes on is your dignity. That's what lives the way people think.
Well said.
It is. Powerful. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Till next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Ball Brian say, mahalo.
I'm gay.
And now is Adam Carolla in favor of the Women's March?
Kind of.
Yeah, I'll take
overall.
It. Yeah. And I love when Gina's dishing out that news. Also, have a couple announcements. First up, Adam is reopening the Houston Improv. So make sure to go to adamcarolla.com and get tickets because it will be in front of a live, limited audience. And we'll bring in everybody else through Zoom. And enjoy Adam on stage for the first time since all of this started.
All proceeds going to charity.
That's right. And that's May 21st through the 23rd. Also, if you want to enjoy Adam from the comfort of your own home, we are doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared from Quarantine. He will be doing a stand-up set from his own home and doing Unprepared. Instead of ping pong balls, we're going to be going to the YouTube chat for suggestions.
That's going to go great.
They will be in real time. They will be chosen at random, and nothing could possibly go wrong, as Gio said. So make sure to subscribe, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. And you know what else is making this episode so sweet?
Peanut butter whiskey.
Peanut butter whiskey. Screwball. And of course, it's even better on World Whiskey Day, which is today. It's a great holiday and a perfect way to connect with friends and family during the quarantine. So here over at the Carolla Show, we're celebrating over Zoom with a shot or two of Screwball whiskey, getting nice and loose. Some of us will be having a glass or two. Who knows? So we can't get enough of this Screwball. It's delicious. So from all of us...
It was a hit of the holiday party.
It really, really was. So from all of us here at the Carolla Show, We raise you a shot or a glass, a tumbler, a highball, whatever you want, of Screwball. And we wish you a fun and safe World Whiskey Day.
The only holiday I celebrate.
That's right, Gio. This is a big day for you, I know. All right, let's go back to some clips here. So we've been playing a lot of the Rotten Tomatoes game hosted by then editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes, Matt Atchity. Well, we have another clip for you. This is just Matt Atchity hanging out, talking about some of the ratings of Rotten Tomatoes in regards to Adam's new movie at the time, Road Hard.
Yeah, Matt had just seen it. Adam Carolla Show 1520, Sam Jones, Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, February 2015. Adam's kind of lightly quizzing him on the movie, how he thinks it's going to be received in comparison to The Hammer. Matt's angle was it was a sweet movie, which I guess is kind of true. It's a sweet movie. It's just a little kind of just prodding a little bit and trying to figure out where the movie lands. And then right from there, they get a phone call from somebody who wants to know why the media is so quick to label Adam as the latest ism or ist du jour. And Adam talks about a recent interview for Jimmy Kimmel conducted by Entertainment Weekly where he informed them he does not like them. So ring the interview. Check it out.
And now, don't believe him. Just watch. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for clicking through Amazon and bookmarking us. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for coming out to Caroline's Wednesday, March 4th. David Alan Greer, the guy, is fucking dynamite on stage. And then the following night, Alec Baldwin and Howie Mandel swinging by as well. So loaded for bear, as they say. That's coming up in New York. Oh, man, tickets on sale in London as we speak. And go to adamcarolla.com and Road Hard coming to a town near you. I'll give you more details on that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Matt Atchity.
Hello.
And Bald Brian.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Ad Zalowski said, hey, how about the first drop you ever loaded into that machine? I was like, how about it?
This is damn exciting stuff.
That shall be on my list when I sit down with, I don't know, KCRW and eventually with Rotten Tomatoes and do the top five, top ten movies. I think I will get Defending Your Life on there because...
Just dynamite.
Is that thing? I think I had a whole bunch of way out premises that completely worked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Groundhog Day type of movies. Movies that are not in any way plausible but still make total sense.
Aren't they?
But here's the thing. Groundhog Day just was a go-with-it movie.
Yeah.
But the thing about Defending Your Life that I liked is we are going to die. We're not going to have a repeat day. Or my son's not going to make a wish so we can never tell another lie on his birthday. But there will be, you will be dead. And then who's to say that this doesn't exist? Mm-hmm. That's what I liked,
right.
I liked
no
about it.
It's no weirder than some of the other stuff that people talk about.
Abso-fucking-lutely, you know, pearly gates and streets lined with gold and St. Peter or whatever your fakakta religion happens to detail. Either way, Albert Brooks's reality in fantasy makes a little more sense.
One of the things I love about that movie, over and above the fact that it's a great movie, I was a tour guide at Universal when they were using those trams to shoot the movie.
Love that. Now let's focus on the important part, my movie. Coming out soon. I think you can go to roadhardmovie.com and find out, you know, where I'm going. As I'm going to New York, Washington, Minneapolis, Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Vegas, and we're going to do screenings. But the movie is going to be released theatrically as well. And you should see a comedy with other people.
Yes.
In a place with other people. And I was laughing about this earlier today, but I never really thought about it. But dig, if you would. How do I know this premise to be true versus watching American Sniper? Mm. Everybody comes to work or would come to the schoolyard and reenact the scene from the comedy, the Monty Python bit they would do. We'd watch Saturday Night Live, and we'd come back and reenact it to other kids on the schoolyard. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Or you'd go see Life of Brian or whatever that bit was, Airplane, whatever that is. And then you'd constantly reenact it. Constant reenact. I mean, I was just watching Wedding Crashers, and I just come back, like, you lock it up. You know, and you just do it. But you don't ever...
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You don't do American Sniper, where you get a mop handle, and you go, and then he would lay down, and he put, like, I'm putting my hat on backwards?
Yeah.
I'm putting a hat on me. He's laying, but I'm pretend I'm on a roof.
Oh, man. Remember the part where he was brooding for, like, 5 minutes?
He's brooding.
He wouldn't talk to anybody?
You're not walking around with a fake baby. Right.
This isn't a door in Fallujah. This is a closet door, but here's how he went through it, man. Guns ablaze, and let me use that mop handle to simulate the gun. No one ever does that. I mean, every once in a blue moon, you get the, we don't need no stinking badges, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But think about the Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. Think about all those Monty Python movies. Think about...
hey, where are the white women at?
Think about all the reenactments that you do. It's so communal, mm-hmm. right? So when you see a comedy, you know, like I said, a drama... pour yourself a glass of wine, put it up on the flat screen, and watch it at home. But comedy, go to a...
It's a communal experience.
Well, imagine...
And laughter's infectious.
What would stand-up be like if one dude just sat in the middle of an empty room?
Let's try it.
Let's not. Go to Caroline's, motherfuckers.
Or don't.
Yeah. What? Now I'm going to do it. I don't think... It would just be weird, right? It'd be weird.
Yeah, of course.
It'd be weird for the person. Like you wouldn't want... If you could afford... Eddie Murphy to come to your house, you know, if you were the Sultan of Brunei, you could give Eddie Murphy $1 million, and you could, and he would come do stand up for you. You wouldn't want to be alone. You'd want to invite everyone you knew.
No, it'd be like Rupert Pupkin in King of Comedy, right?
Right.
Like just talking to the cutouts.
Right. So if you can see the movie, and it's going to be in most of the major cities, go out and see it with a group. It was fun.
Where'd they go to find it?
They can go to RoadHardMovie.com and check it out. Matt, what do you think? What do you? Any guesses on Rotten Tomato meters for Road Hard? Now you have to keep in mind the Hammer, 80 and 81, something like that. Maybe 89 with the audience, if memory serves.
That's a good question. I'm gonna guess probably around 70.
70.
That's gonna be my guess. It kind of depends. There's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a shorter, it's going to be a more dramatic swing because it's not, I don't think you have the big marketing machine of doing critic screenings.
No.
No.
Well, it'd be a little bit of that.
But will that help the score because the people who are seeing it are kind of seeking it out?
As opposed
to
critics
being dragged to it.
Might be higher than that. I mean, what I would do is like,
Road Hard.
I mean, seriously, like, you're probably best off inviting critics to these fan screenings because then they're going to – because that's – the smart marketers will do that with critics here in L.A. is that they'll do – they'll have critics at a comedy screening where half of it is an audience like fans.
Absolutely. Right?
And they do that with horror movies too because then
– they see,
like,
how much everybody loves it.
Both comedy and like terror is infectious.
Yeah.
And so when you have quote-unquote real people there, mm-hmm. I think it actually makes – critics kind of get into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah,
not that I'm telling you how to game the system.
No, but I agree. If you go to a place and you're enjoying yourself with other, I mean, you're sitting amongst people who are enjoying themselves, then I think it's the critics. If that happens, if they hate it, I still always feel it's sort of incumbent upon them to go, other people around me seem to be laughing. Mm-hmm. And then you can go, I don't know why.
But I didn't find it funny.
I didn't find it funny.
I don't see anyone who would hate it. Dislike it mildly. Mate. What you should do is when you go to these cities, this probably would require very little legwork. Find the Rotten Tomatoes critics in those cities and invite them to the screening. Say, hey, come on out. We're doing a screening in your town.
Yeah, okay. I got...
easy as dropping an email.
Richard Roper liked it a lot. So at least I got Roper. He's one of your guys, right?
Yeah, he is.
He is one of the...
Top
probably
critic.
One of the top critics, right?
Yeah, sure. Top critic. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So at least we got out of the gate with that. I don't know how I found that out, but I found that out. So we got that in our hip pocket. Just 70. That's all you think.
I will say that I'm bad about predicting scores way out. I'm the one in the office who's really bad at it.
You liked it better than The Hammer, I think.
That's a good question.
Had more laughs,
you know,
but
here's
The Hammer
the thing.
Has a different kind of movie.
You know, my takeaway from the movie is that I think that the movie lets on that you have more heart than you would normally otherwise want people to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's a very sweet movie. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I liked it a lot.
All right.
I liked it a lot. It's also fun seeing all the locations that I know.
Yeah. So a little insider. And the Newman doc, too.
Yeah, I like the Newman doc.
Yeah, everyone likes the Newman doc. Thus, easier to make docs than romantic comedies, as I try to explain to people all the time. It's just a more enjoyable, easier form to shoot something. Or you judge much differently.
Is the story more... the storytelling process more obvious with a documentary like that? You know, because the guy's life is in perspective. He died a few years ago. You know the beats. You know
arc. I can tell you this. You just do a very simple tally. Romantic comedies, the last 20 you've seen. Mm-hmm. Docs, last 20 you've seen.
Sure.
One is coming in the high 80s. Oh, the other one's coming in the low 20s in terms of ones you really go, that's really good and enjoyable. Well, I think that's about all you need to know. Romantic comedies or even comedies just versus documentaries.
Yep. Like
it's just an easier form or a more forgivable form to watch a movie in. You don't have your sort of red Sharpie out circling lots of things. You just go, that's cool. I mean, I like the Newman documentary a lot. I think it tells a really cool story and all that kind of stuff, but it's in a way just easier. Mm-hmm. Easier to make. That's for fucking sure.
Doing it from scratch.
Well, and it's also hard to really portray the romantic side of a man falling in love with stand-up comedy as he's on the road.
Yeah, rekindling his love.
Yeah.
Hey, we have it right.
Yeah, you got it right in Rotten Tomatoes. Well, I'm going to be watching, so I'm going to be curious because I love going to Rotten Tomatoes and seeing how things, I mean, not my movies, but I only have one movie. So
yeah, that'd be weird to constantly update.
That's over pretty fast. But to see what other people think and how other, and again, where you're at versus the critics versus the audience. All right. So we'll look forward to that. And that should be coming out, start trickling in next week, probably. Yeah.
We'll start seeing reviews soon.
Yeah. All right. So we got that. We got the game to play, Rotten Tomatoes game. And it really, to me, It's become like, I don't know, it's like the Brady Bunch or Gilligan's Island, where the theme song has almost overshadowed the actual
work. It's going to have a longer life than the game, for sure.
Yeah, totally.
People are over the game.
I know.
It'll be ironic when they're doing parody songs of the parody song generations from now.
Yeah, think about that. It'll be like, How Do I Talk to an Angel? Like the show from the Heights. No one remembers the show, but that song was a huge hit.
That's so gay of you to know.
Damn it, I failed the test.
Unfinished Business. Speaking of movies, my good buddy Vince Vaughn is going to be in this one. It's coming out when? Friday, March 6th.
Oh.
Well, you see both
of them.
Double feature.
See Unfinished Business first and then just... wait, don't slide into the next theater.
No. Buy the ticket for your movie.
Oh, yeah, and go see Unfinished Business. Yeah, go see a real movie.
Buy a couple tickets for your movie.
You know what? I'll say this. Go see Unfinished Business first.
Quite the endorsement for Unfinished Business.
Small business owner and two associates go to Europe, and they want to close a deal, and hijinks ensue, and everything comes off the rails. There's pot and tequila and unplanned stops at a fetish event.
Sweet.
I like to map out my fetish events well in advance.
Yeah, unplanned. Sure, Vince. Sure.
Anyway, Unfinished Business movie. You can watch the trailer. Just search Unfinished Business movie. Watch the trailer. Get your tickets now. Unfinished Business in theaters Friday, March 6th. All right, we got the game to play. Got a couple of phone calls up there. Let's see. You guys have anything jumping out at you?
That last one's interesting.
Lewis, 35,
hey, what's
Maine.
Up?
What's going on?
Not much. Good talking to you. I actually went and saw you when you were up here in New Hampshire.
But, nice.
My question was about, you know, why the media is always ragging on you and calling you homophobic and racist, but if you have any ounce of intelligence and listen to even 2 minutes of your podcast, it's very obvious that you're not.
It's probably because of the things he says.
Not a lot of black folk up in Maine, huh? Must be sweet.
Yeah, there's really not.
I take it back.
So you just sleep with your door unlocked. Gotta be awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't even have a door.
Well, it gets cold.
You really don't have to lock the door.
Gate or something, right? Or the beads you hang down from, you know?
No, the front door.
I know. It's so safe up there. But doesn't even
I mean, it gets cold.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But the car door, you probably leave open.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Lewis. Go ahead.
Well, the question was just why do you think that is? Why are they so determined to paint you as a homophobe racist?
Hollywood's a weird place that breaks off into weird cliques and likes to get kind of sanctimonious, as I was explaining. The Oscars is the only award show where they vote on who gets the Oscars, and then they get up and make speeches criticizing essentially themselves for not being more inclusive. I don't know that any other group would have the temerity to talk about their own group that they were in as if they weren't in it when they're part of the Academy. But they're certainly sanctimonious that way. I had a talk with Entertainment Weekly today, not about me, but about a piece they're doing on Jimmy Kimmel. I'll get into it more in more detail later on, but I had to explain to him, I'm not doing this for you because I fucking hate you guys. Because Entertainment Weekly, the way they do stuff is, look, here's my take. My take is everybody's in high school. I am considered a jock, which I was in high school, and now they work for the school newspaper and with impunity can say whatever shit they want to say about me. Now, the reality of my fucking world is I grew up way fucking poorer than any of you fucking motherfuckers. Way poor. Way. I'll fucking, any of you, come on down and let's have a fucking pour off.
Yeah.
I'll show you some food stamps and some welfare. I'll show you that.
We're going toe to exposed toe in you, my broken
toe
shoes.
Toe to toe in a fucking shitty job department, motherfuckers. Come on down. When I say digging ditches, I'm not talking metaphorically. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about digging fucking ditches and cleaning up garbage, not being a fucking apprentice, not showing up on a construction site and doing a fucking hot montage where we take our shirts off and play Top Gun song and do a bunch of framing or raise a barn. I'm talking about picking up garbage and busting out stucco and going into condemned buildings and crawling underneath them amongst dead cats and rats and digging fucking footings with a fucking coffee can. I did that. That's where I come from, bitches. So don't give me this fucking white privilege or any other big jock guy. Oh, he had it his own. All right, I'm pissed. Turn that shit off. Hey, you know, it's this fucking thing. And then, oh, my daddy fucking bought a warehouse and started podcasting. Fuck you. I built every fucking thing myself by my own fucking hands, and you guys can't take it. So what do? You fucking sit around and you point the finger. Oh, he must be this, or he must be that, or he got this, or he got that. Bull fucking shit. I got nothing. I never got a fucking handout or fucking hand up. I got nothing. I fucking made my own way. And you think, oh, well, the jock, and now it's the nerd's time to take revenge on the jock. Life took revenge on me many, many years ago for an extended fucking period of time. It's called not having air conditioning. It's called not having fucking food, not having an education, going from menial job to menial job for a fucking minimum wage. I did it all. And then some. Cleaned carpets, worked at McDonald's, did everything. Thank you.
This is the montage.
This is the montage that you guys think my former life was. It was fucking not. And
hot mop, no shirt.
Then.
The Adam Carolla story.
All right, turn it down. Then you guys have to go at Entertainment Weekly. You got to write a fucking article when the man show, because the man show, well, those are the jocks and the bullies starting a show. So then you have to go write an article, and when you're writing an article, you have to talk about how the new man show is better than the old man show, and about how Jimmy Kimmel's going to make his ill-fated move into late night, and how
the jury's still out on that.
They performed a Corollaectomy over at Comedy Central. 50 lunches and $50,000 an episode dangled in front of me, and I said, no, I'm going with Jimmy to do his show. But you got a narrative. Why let the truth get in the way? Why let the truth get in the way? You have a narrative. I'm the bully. I'm the guy who got everything handed to me. I have white privilege. So you got a narrative. Run with it. Run with it. And never let it die. I know what the fucking truth is, and so does my family. You know what the fucking best line I love? You know the fucking line I love the best out of you assholes? I feel sorry for his daughter. I feel sorry for his daughter and his
Who
wife.
Who said that?
I'll fucking get shit. There'll be
somebody
new articles.
Somebody at VW said that?
Oh, no. EW just talked about me being a Brang sports aficionado, which I don't even know where that even fucking came from. I did two sports bits in 100 episodes of The Man Show. And Comedy Central performing a Corollaectomy, which they didn't. They begged me to stay. Begged me and offered, threw money at me. So instead, I could actually look like someone who had some fucking dignity and said, no, put your checkbook away. I'm going to go with my friend. But instead, they decided to manufacture their own truth, which made me look like an asshole. Awesome. Thank you very much. And later on, when you guys were doing a whole piece on crowdfunding and people who are making movies via crowdfunding, was I included in that piece? No. Have I been incredibly successful in that world? Yes. One could argue that Spike Lee's made 50 films. Veronica Mars already fucking existed. So I'm fucking owned by Warner Brothers or whatever entity owns Veronica Mars. Zach Braff. You could argue that my story is an even more interesting story in the crowdfunding world. Was my name included in that list?
No.
No. Why? Because I'm the bully from high school. Except for I don't know you, I never bullied anyone, and I was a fuck of a lot poorer than you were, and while you went off to Stanford, I went off to the San Fernando Valley to dig fucking ditches for a living.
The reunion's going to be awkward.
So you guys can all fuck yourselves, and here's the deal. I got a warehouse, I got a studio, I got a movie, I got fans. That's all I need. Now, would I love EW to write a story on Road Hard? Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be a good story. It's a good movie. It's got a lot of names in it. It's a funny movie. It's a great backstory. It was all crowdfunded. I did a Bryan Cranston did the video to raise the money. Will that story be told? Fuck no, it's not going to be told. It'll never be told. Why? Because that's the bully. The bully. Well, the bully doesn't need your fucking rag, and he doesn't need your fucking ass. The bully is doing his own fucking thing. The bully's got a pirate ship, and he's fucking sailing it. So that's what I shall do. And we shall take this movie, and I'll go fucking around the country.
We're barnstorming.
And I will barnstorm this bitch, and you guys will go to iTunes. It's well up the charts on iTunes over a week before it comes out. Why? Because the bully's got fans. Thank you very much.
So after the EW interviewer shat themselves, what was their first question, or were they too terrified after that?
I told them, look, I'm doing this interview with you about Jimmy because I love Jimmy. I do not like you guys. And they said, well, I'm sorry if you don't like Entertainment Weekly. And I said, it's not that I was born not liking Entertainment Weekly. You guys don't like me.
Yeah.
You talk shit about me or completely ignore anything that I'm doing. So it's not like I just fucking woke up one morning thinking I hate Entertainment Weekly. I read a fucking story that said Comedy Central kicked me off of my own show when in fact they begged me to stay. Now, the only conclusion I can draw from that is you're lying to try to make me look like an asshole or make me humiliate me or what have you. Or you just didn't do any research at all.
It seems like the second. Like they just the narrative that makes the most sense in the simplest terms is, oh, they got rid of him.
Yeah, but they didn't say that. They said something snarky and fucked up.
That's also true. Listen.
They said something snarky and fucked up about a really successful show that I created. And of course, all TV show, all executives want to do is more. If you're getting great ratings, more. And when you're done with four seasons, they go, give me five. And you go, we can't do five. Jimmy's going to ABC. And they go, well, then you stay. And you said to me, you work alone. You choose a new partner. You work with Hooch, the dog from the Tom Hanks movie. Whatever the fuck you want to do, you stay. And here's 50 grand an episode. That's what it was. And by the way, it got to the point where they'd say, Nina, whoever it is, wants to have lunch with you. And I'd go, no more. I can't go to lunch and look across the table and tell them I'm not doing it.
Free lunch.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. And
is it free? You got to sit there and listen to
it. Yeah, it comes at a high price, actually.
Thank you for bringing up the shitty way they worded it, Gina Grad, because yes, Brian, it was an attempt to make me sound like an asshole. Why? I got white privilege and I'm a bully.
True.
All right. Now, what doesn't Spike Lee and Zach Braff have?
White privilege or bully.
That's okay. Right. Now, that's the world we're living in. If you guys think for one fucking hot second you're ever going to convince me I'm one-tenth of what you're trying to describe me as, you're fucking high. And the part where my daughter and my wife are having the fucking time of their lives, I'm the one who's killing myself.
I want to commend you on moving past it.
Thank you.
Is that about answer it, Lewis?
All right. Thanks for the help. Now, where were we?
And that was Adam Carolla and then editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes, Matt Atchity, talking about how he thought Road Hard would fare with the critics, especially in relationship to The Hammer.
It's funny to flash back and hear how people anticipate things versus their reaction. Versus you have the host of the show asking you how his movie is and you're a guest on the show. But it's just, I don't know. I wonder what Matt was feeling. I love Road Hard. I love The Hammer. I'm a fan of both.
Oh, same. And I was on set for the making of Road Hard, so it was a... I shared
there's a
different
boner
experience.
Joke in Road Hard that's one of the funniest cinematic jokes ever done.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a funny joke. Like, it's so great. It's like, oh, it's laugh out loud hilarious. And speaking of Hannibal Lecter, the actress from Silence of the Lambs is in that movie.
That's right. And speaking of boners, it was a toilet paper roll with a lime at the end.
Oh.
There you go.
Good to know.
A little movie magic. All right, before we get going with the next clip, if you liked Road Hard, you know that scene I'm talking about, and you want to recreate it, you should do it in some Tommy Johns, all right? Because, look, a lot of us now, we're wondering what we should wear, what kind of loungewear, what kind of underwear we want to put on. Gio mentioned earlier in the show he liked that second skin.
Well, I'm now going to add a toilet paper roll and a lime.
That's
right.
But yes,
the second skin is quite nice in the summer.
Either way, it's going to be the most comfortable part of your day. Putting on those Tommy Johns. And we love the cool cotton as well. So make sure to treat yourself and upgrade to a few pairs of Tommy John underwear. It's the softest, most breathable fabric you've ever worn. And Tommy John is so confident in their product that if you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free guaranteed. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off your order. All right? That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. Now.
And you can still buy them for your mom. It's not weird.
It's not weird. It never will be.
It's never weird.
Detective Geo.
what's up, Captain Chris?
You know, I like that. I think
Lieutenant?
We should. No, Captain Chris. I produce.
It's a much better nickname than your other nickname.
I agree, and
it's like four ranks above your other nickname.
And weirdly, I want some cereal at the same time. But
that's the worst cereal ever. What is this? It's just weird shrimp tails and cigarette butts. What did this guy eat?
Either way, we're gonna destroy the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, because you just ate shrapnel.
Gio, what do we got for our next clip?
Adam Carolla Show 1529. Whoa, whoa, what? Michael DeBar again? Indeed. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. We just played this randomly, and then the next week, we played a request from Fabian R., if that is your real name. And this is a request redo. Redux. The same request he had before. He wants to know about the bulletproof vests on the cops coming out of the academy versus Adam's idea about the wedding dresses. Well, it turns out the call he was actually asking for was Fabian himself calling into the show. And it was about a week earlier than the clip we played. So I played it last week, and I knew something about it just didn't sound right, because it sounded like they were referencing it happening prior, and I knew I was going to go back and do some work to find it. Found it. Turns out Fabian was getting high at his own supply.
Dun-dun-dun!
Fabian's the shooter.
Some really tragic news. Wendell Middlebrooks.
Oh, Wendell Middlebrooks, yeah.
Yes, who was in Road Hard, and I think passed away at 36. Boy, what a sweetheart, Brian. I know you got to see him work, and anyone who saw Road Hard got to see him work a little bit, but you got to see him work sort of in person.
Well, so what happened was when you were doing your CBS pilot was when I first got diagnosed, and I showed up and said hi to everyone and got to watch the pilot being taped, which was awesome. And everyone was very good in the pilot. You were great. Pam Adlon was great. Everyone was good. Wendell Middlebrooks was the wacky neighbor. He sort of had the juiciest role. He jumped off the... I mean, I saw him in person, but he jumped off the stage. He was an electric personality. And everyone knew what that one is, the Miller High Life guy. He was in the Miller High Life commercials and everything.
And a couple great episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. He was married to the cross-dresser?
The transsexual.
That's right. Yeah. And... I just came away from it saying, well, that was a really good pilot. That was a lot of fun. Everyone was really good. Wendell Middlebrooks was going to be a huge star. Like, he was just electric on the stage. Everything he delivered was on point and better than it probably would have been with someone else.
Yeah. And, oh, the sweetest guy. I'll tell you, I was standing in front of the theater, the group. I just got back from San Francisco, sold out three shows with Road Hard. I was at the end of my whatever, and I was starting to go in this Middlebrooks story, and I literally just broke down. I'm like, I'm exhausted. I love that guy so much. Why him? Yeah. And I just became a heap in front of like 300 people.
Turn to something else.
I couldn't let it turn. I just started talking about how much I love that guy. Oh, I'm getting teary now. At 36 years old, it wasn't, he didn't drug overdose or anything like that.
Yeah, they said no foul play, nothing like that.
Now, the story with him and me is I had this pilot with CBS, and we wanted the neighbor, and the neighbor was going to be David Alan Greer. And that's good, super talented, super funny, and I have a great relationship with the guy, and Dave could use a job, so this was going to be a win-win, you know? And at the very last moment, Kevin Hench, the guy I did the partner with, partner wrote the screenplay, wrote hard with and directed with, and we did the CBS pilot. He said, have you seen that dude from the Miller High Life commercial? And I was like, yeah, because anyone who watches football has seen that commercial. You can always kind of tell what shows people watch. Like, the guy goes, no, I don't know what that is. He's never seen a quarter of football. So I'm like, of course.
Those are heavy rotations.
Yeah. And he's like, that dude's funny. Isn't he funny? And I was like, yeah, that guy is super funny. And he's like, well, maybe. I mean, I know we're going with Dag and everything, but maybe we should at least take a look at the guy.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. So we brought Wendell in just to have a look. Like, hey, such a funny guy in those commercials. But, you know, he's not going to be better than Dag. Dag's Dag, you know. The guy's done Broadway. Everyone liked Wendell. So I had to have a super uncomfortable conversation with Dag that there's a new black sheriff in town, and his name is Wendell Middlebrooks. And so we brought him in, and he's a sort of, I don't know where he's from, but he's Southern nice.
Right.
I mean, the Southern comfort, the booze is well named. Those people.
Genteel.
They're Southern nice. Right. They're genteel, and they're gentle, and they're just super friendly and easy. Always a smile on his face, always laughing, always having a good time. And so when it came, he's from the Fort Worth area, I'm now finding out, friendly, salt of the earth. And so we shot the pilot, hoping it would go somewhere, and he'd go somewhere with it. It didn't, but he continued on to do other roles and things like that. And then, of course, when Kevin and Hench and I were going to do our next movie, we just thought of Wendell again. And our point is Dag was going to be my best buddy in that movie because he was my age and he'd been on the road. And blah, blah, blah.
Maybe we take a look at Wendell. Yeah.
No, I didn't. Dag would have fucking stabbed me at that point. But we did. He's one of these guys that's so good that you want to just put him into anything that you're doing. He's basically like Parmesan cheese. You know what I mean? Like, sprinkle a little of that. What?
It's It'll
a baked
any dish.
It's a baked potato. Don't worry about it.
It'll be great.
It'll be better. It'll be better. And that's what Wendell was like. And we found that little bit where he's working the floor buffer. And it's always one of the biggest laughs of the movie. Yeah. And he just does so much with what you gave him, you know? So he's going to be missed. And that was some tough news to hear out on the road. So that's Wendell. Now back to Crazy Mike August news.
I was going to say, you're on the road?
There can't possibly be any.
Well, I'm traveling everywhere with Mike August, which is its own comedy.
Road hard.
And we're traveling yesterday through the Burbank Airport, and Mike August, who's successfully circumnavigated the globe with a box cutter. A box cutter. Not something he uses to cut boxes open, but something whose title is box cutter.
Okay.
We have been traveling this universe with this box cutter that Mike decided right after 9/11 he should pack with him before he leaves for his next engagement. And I said, Mike, I don't get why you need a box cutter with you, because we're going to Portland, we're going to Seattle, we're going to San Francisco overnight, then we're coming back the following morning, like 6 a.m.
Under what circumstances does he need to cut anything, let alone boxes?
I don't know. I wish he cut himself, but he claims that there's all sorts of uses for his box cutter.
Have you seen him pull them out once in a utility fashion?
No, but to be fair, you know, we part ways in the lobby. He may go upstairs and open a box of merch or something that gets sent to him. I don't know, but he seems to me to box cutter. But I know he doesn't need it, because none of us travel. No one's ever said, oh, where's my box cutter? And then someone said, well, you can buy one down at the Sundry's place in the lobby. So I just marvel. I'm like, Mike, you pass through every single airport in this country with the weapon that was used to take down all three of the planes. Yeah, three, right?
Yeah.
Right. All three of them. And you waltz
four.
Through four?
Well, one crashed
in the
field.
One's Pentagon. Yeah, that's four, right. Yeah. All the four, theoretically, this was used to take them all down. You waltz through every – you go through Logan. I've been through Logan in Boston with Mike, with a box cutter – in his backpack.
You feel to be extra sensitive about that.
Never been stopped.
Wow.
Never, ever been stopped until yesterday. Over a decade, he's had this run.
So he's come out ahead.
With his box cutter. Oh, he'll be back, by the way. Mike was incensed. Mike was pissed. I said, Mike, what the fuck? You're carrying a box cutter too. He was pissed that he's gone through literally... It's not even the number of airports. It's like we've done Sacramento and McCarran, and we've done Boston, we've done JFK, we've done them all 30 times.
Sure.
There and back. I mean, we've left Burbank with his box cutter at least 128 times. And on the 129th time, he was stopped. And what he's pissed about is how random it all is. Now, he shouldn't be, but he's right. It's inconsistent. There's the take your shoes off. There's leave your shoes on. Somebody told me to put my wallet back in my pants today.
Yes.
Like, I was walking through the metal detector just sort of holding my wallet. And they're like, sir, put the wallet. I believe that's them. If they could, they'd go, put your index finger up your ass and cry. Cry for me. Mm. Just go ahead and cry for me real quick. Okay, now go ahead. Or just, I don't know, do 5 push-ups. Or tell me I've lost weight.
Right.
Or compliment my frames. Just do something.
This would be very elaborate. Yeah.
But I know it's like, I am passing by you. You must tell me to do something. I'm sure if my wallet was in my back pocket, you'd tell me to pull it out. I don't know what difference the wallet, going through the metal detector, what holding a wallet does.
Do something.
Do something. For me.
Dance.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, I didn't get laid in high school, but now you can dance. So Mike was incensed and vowed to be back with the box cutter.
See, that seems like the wrong move at an airport, to get all, you know, righteous indignation and vow to be back with a box cutter at the airport. I feel like they wouldn't cotton to that.
He didn't make the proclamation
to the TSA.
To the TSA agent.
He promised it to the most important person himself.
Yeah.
That's right.
He
made it to me at the bar 18 minutes later. But either way, he will be back with his box cutter.
God bless. Good luck.
Man has a little something called grit. Also, along the way, I got my phone destroyed by somebody that it didn't. My phone wasn't broken. It was like destroyed.
Oh.
Like somebody like threw it on the ground.
Like wood chipper.
Yes. Who was supposed to be charging it for me behind the counter at a DC theater. So, and it's tough when you're out on the road. And you're in the middle of the road, and you're traveling. You do not realize. I was sitting in my room trying to figure out how to dial Mike August's cell phone from the landline that's next to the bed. And it's like, I've not used this device to contact anybody. I was pressing one and then pressing a cell number, but I realized, oh, there's a number I got to press to get out of the
hotel.
You
always have to dial 9 first.
Yes, and I found I was perfect. I was in Minneapolis. I had no phone. It was beyond recognition, and I called the front desk, and I was like, it's perfect. I was like, is there an iStore anywhere around here? And they're like, what? iTunes store, Mac store, what are those stores? Apple store with the phones.
One of those is correct.
And then the guy's like, there's one like at the Mall of America or something, or there's another one that's 2.6 miles from here. So then I go outside and I get in the cab and I got the guy from Mozambique, you know, and he's like, what is the address? You know, and I'm like, Mac store, iStore, phone store, phone Apple store.
Take me to Mac.
Macintosh phone store. Steve Jobs, is this place around here? Yeah. I need the Mac iPhone store. And he's like, I think I know. And he just drives me all over town. Then he drops me off. I've never even been in one of those places. And I come walking in, and there's a bunch of hip dudes that are holding tablets.
Yeah.
And they're like, good evening, sir, or good day, sir. What do you need? And I go, phone's broken. All right, hold on a second. Stand over there. Jesse should be with you in a second. I don't know what he's doing with this tablet. Mm-hmm. Then you go over there, and then it's Bill will probably help you out a little better. And then I'm standing in front of the guy, and he's like, okay, who's your carrier? I don't know. What, Verizon? AT&T? I don't know. What do most people have? I don't know. Do you
play the odds?
Yeah. All right. Do we have the, I think it was the zip code of the billing address? And I'm like, let me look. I know it's not my house. Wow. I don't even know what my house is. I don't know. Do you have how much? Do you have insurance? How much time do you have on
Apple
the thing?
Care.
Where Apple Care? Do you have this, that, and the other? Like, I don't know anything.
Is Steve Jobs here?
I got this phone. It's smashed. You know. And the guy said, "Well, I can pull out the SIM card." I'm like, "Yeah." Now, meanwhile, I got the cab waiting for me outside. So I'm like, could you just pull the SIM card out and put it in another thing and I could get going over here? And he's like, what color would you like the new phone on? I don't care.
Champagne,
don't care.
Silver,
don't
flint.
Care. Whatever it is. Hey, cool guy with the beard. You're too young for the beard. Put this to the SIM card thing.
Well,
and
you
we
were
can
cool
get
guy
it.
With the beard. You fit right in.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, all right, let me just get a little more information. And I'm like,
I have
no information.
Does it involve a driver from Mozambique?
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Yeah, the meter's running, by the way. He's sitting in his car right now. I don't know anything. I don't know who the carrier is. I don't know, man. So it's funny. So now I'm buying the new phone. And he's like, would you like the Apple Care? And I go, no, I'm very careful with my phone. And he's looking at my phone and smoke's coming out of it. Like smoke's coming out. I was like, really? Because
wow.
It seems like maybe it's something you could use. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to get overly defensive about this. I keep the fucking phone for 5 years. Yep. 5 years, and then I turn it in, and it doesn't have a scratch on it. The only reason this happens, but by the way, my wife, the front glass lasts, the over-under, does she make it back from the Apple store and into the house without the thing cracking? It's always funny when somebody does something lame to bust whatever device they have. Mm-hmm. And then explain it to you. Like they go, you go, Jesus Christ, what's your phone? A week old? The glass is already shattered? Well, I put it on the roof of the car and drove to school with it. And it's like, oh, okay. That's not a better answer is escaped mental patient breaks into house, grabs it and slams it on the floor in front of me while I was showering.
Yeah, it's a story.
Duct taped to a chair.
You put it on the roof of your car and driving away. It's not That's kind of on you. No, I'd say that's on you.
That's your fault.
People give you a lot of those stories. Well, you know what happened to my commuter mug? What happened? I threw it at a train. You know, like.
And the train was moving.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's preventable.
Yeah.
It could be on you. Anyway, not me. I turned my shit in. But this guy at the theater in D.C., I was on a 17-hour day. It was due. Dan Patrick's I'm going to lift my seat. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Right, raise yourself, because I want to hear about the 17-hour day.
Well, here would be the problem. Here's the problem if and you're me. The press stuff would go on all day, and then at the end of the press stuff, they'd go, all right, well, it's been a long day. You can get a little rest, get back to the hotel room, maybe work out, grab a meal. And I'd go, oh, no, I'm going to Caroline's. I got to do two shows. And then after Caroline's, I got to go out to dinner with the backers. And so while I should be, at this point, getting some rest.
Comatose.
It's a couple of shows, and then it's the screening of Road Hard, and then it's the Q&A afterward, and then it's off to the place that's open. Horrible, horrible barbecue that's open until in Times Square, you know, the only place serving past 1:30 kind of thing. Mm. And then it's walk back through the snow and get to the hotel room, but the car's picking you up at 7:10 to do the Dan Patrick show. And that's where the problem lies. Right. It's that. Go to bed at 2:30, and Dan Patrick tomorrow. The guys, so
because a long day you can push through as long as there's some sleep on the other end. It's
yes,
it's the 5 hours or less.
Yes, that was last night. So
but you had this to look forward to.
So Dan Patrick in the morning, train to DC after Dan Patrick showing in DC. Two showings in D.C., then ride to the airport, fly to Minneapolis, showing in Minneapolis, and then finish Minneapolis with the after hangout guys and whatever. But in between, phone destroyed, which was D.C. I was on the road for 17 hours, and I was, like, parked in the movie theater saying to the manager, you know, my phone's pretty good, but I don't know if it's going to make it 17 hours. You have a charger back there, and the guy put it on the charger. And after the show, when I was taking pictures and signing things and hanging out, he just handed it to me, like, almost in tears. And it just looked like he threw it against the brick wall.
What happened?
Well, you see, I took it and I threw it against a brick wall.
Let me explain why I am the best guy in the world.
Finally. We get the explanation we deserve.
I'm the best guy in the world to fuck up his phone, but I'm a bad guy when I have to tell you something for the 18th time, which is this. The guy who managed the movie theater in D.C., I don't know. Hey, Gary, go find that guy. Or somebody go find Gary, and then Gary, go find that guy. Gary, find that guy. See if we can find that guy. We'll try to talk to him on the phone. He can ask what my reaction was to him. Here's the way I'm wired. This guy does not have a vendetta against me or my phone. He did something. Whatever he did destroyed my phone. Did he do it on purpose? No, he did not. Do I need to know what happened to the phone that no longer exists?
Yes.
No, I do not. Oh. I need no answers on this. It means nothing to me. Whatever damage has occurred is occurred. I'm
the
world's busiest person. Yeah. This guy's apologizing profusely, which he doesn't have to do because he didn't do it intentionally. What drives me fucking nuts and where I do become a prick is when I'm paying for shit or doing stuff and I'm saying to people, here's what I need you to do, and they're being lazy or they're trying to cut corners or whatever it is. You try and the guy was trying to charge my phone. And then he was trying to hand the phone to me. That's all he was trying to do. Somewhere along the line,
in between,
that thing got backed over by a fucking snowmobile that was angry. But either way, I don't need to know. He feels bad. I don't need to make him feel worse.
Okay.
He already feels as bad as he can feel. And when he's handing me the phone, he's making proclamations of buying me a new one.
Yeah.
That's academic. The money is not the issue here. What the issue is I'm in D.C., then I'm going to Minneapolis, then I'm going to Chicago, and I have no way. I'm trying to do a lot of coordinating with Mike August and meet you in the lobby, and then we're going to a thing, and I don't have a way to communicate with him. That's the issue. Yeah. So money, not the issue. Intention, not an issue. He was trying to help me.
Fallout.
Fallout.
Different story.
Different story. The longer we stay and have a conversation about what happened right. with the phone, the less time I have toward whatever
to
it
rectify is rectify the situation
I'm doing and to rectify the situation. And because this will serve me nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I didn't say a word to the guy. I tell him, don't pay for it. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And then I moved on to going, what the fuck am I going to do? And how am I going to replace this phone? Thankfully, the airport in D.C. did not have the Apple store. So that there was nothing I can do in the airport. And then when we landed in Minneapolis, that airport didn't have anything.
That's yeah. extra shitty because they even have vending machines with that crap in it, with phones, with tablets.
Yes. And I would not know what to do with any of it. And that was fucked up. But
did he want to... Did it occur to you that he maybe wanted to give you an explanation of what happened or that he thought that you – because what you're saying is very practical and I know you and so I know that just like move on to problem-solving mode. Do you think he felt like bad, like I just want to explain what happened? You're like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll get him on the phone. Maybe we'll talk to him. Maybe his phone's destroyed and we can't – we got him on line two. Josh? All right, line two. Oh, it's ringing. Oh, is he on?
Scared's calling him right now.
Oh, well, that doesn't mean he's on line two. It means we're calling him, right? Well,
it does say calling him now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just looking at Kaylin. He's on line two. All right. If he picks up, you can tell me. Meanwhile, LifeLock Ultimate. Love these guys. I mean, forget about your phone. What about your identity, man? No one can stop all the identity theft. Gina, what do you got?
A Missouri hairdresser has been charged with stealing over $14,000 from her clients.
Jeez Louise, you can't trust your own hairdresser. What the hell?
Not a problem.
My hairdresser knows all my secrets. All of my secrets. That's the way I roll. I'm old school.
She knows that you like it straight and or round.
On the back. It's another one of my time waster conversations. All right. Where were we? Yeah. All your records. They're all out there. They're all in the cloud, man. They're in that big magical cloud. Someone's hacking into it right now. You need LifeLock. LifeLock Ultimate Plus, man, helps protect your identity, bank, retirement accounts, credit cards, even your home equity. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam to save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com to get a special 10% discount. LifeLock.com. Network does not cover all transactions.
All right. Josh Levin. Josh?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. You're the man who destroyed my phone?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, just so we can let everyone who assumes I'm a colossal douchebag all the time, tell me in give me your account of our exchange when you handed me my destroyed phone.
I was so pleasantly surprised about how gracious and cool you were.
What did I say to you? And what did you say to me?
Well, I believe what I said is, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I just destroyed your phone. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I don't remember your exact words, but you were incredibly nice about it. Incredibly nice.
Right, because there's nothing. The reason I'm very nice about that is because you didn't do it on purpose.
And no, I literally slipped on the ice.
So you were
ice in the club?
You were
the movie theater.
You were bringing the phone. There was snow everywhere and ice everywhere the whole time we were traveling.
Yeah.
So you were bringing the phone out to me.
That's correct. You had asked if I had a charger because you were low on power, so I was charging it behind the counter, and then your van arrived, and you were outside taking pictures with your guests, and you went to get in the van, and I saw you leaving. So even though I'm overweight and 46, I decided to do my O.J. Simpson through the airport, grabbed your phone, went running out yelling, Adam, Adam, your phone, your phone, and hit the top step up to the street and planted on the ice and basically fell flat on my ass, and the phone went skidding out of my hand and across the sidewalk.
So Josh, this favor cost you a tailbone.
Yeah, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good. I have a surgically repaired neck, so the titanium held.
He has Apple Care on his neck.
Wow.
So he's not good.
Wow. All right. So
Thank God you didn't yell at him.
No one yell at anyone who makes a mistake, please. Yell.
Can do.
Yell at fucking lazy people who you repeat the exact same fucking sentence to over and over fucking again and who are just being fucking soft and lazy and shitty or greedy or whatever. Don't yell at the guy who's trying to get the phone to you.
Right.
That's, Josh, you sent me a $300 Apple gift card.
Yeah, I asked the guy at the Apple store how much it would cost to replace the front and back of a phone that had been thrown across the sidewalk.
We came up about $300 short, but I bought the new, like, 6 whatever with the Jumbotron on it. But either way, I know Josh. Look, Josh was very Josh begged to pay for it at the time and replace it and all that stuff, and it had nothing to do with that. Josh is a good guy. He showed road hard, and I know whatever Josh was doing was an attempt to help me.
Was this pre-dinner? This was between the screening and the dinner you went with the backers?
Oh, there is no... The dinners all turned into booze fest, because by the time the screening...
Pretty late. That's a good point.
There was no backer meeting in D.C. There was a backers meeting in Minneapolis, but by the time the show's over, all the restaurants are closed, but the bars... are still open.
This is in D.C. on your way to. Okay.
On the way, and so yeah, this is what it's.
That's where you're looking for the Apple.
Right. Well, thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
Sure. And again, I'm sorry about the phone.
No problem whatsoever.
What an asshole.
I stepped up to the new one, and but my God, you guys have not really experienced that feeling of being a long distance from your home and not having a cell phone with you. It's a weird, naked, how am I going to, who, what email? I'd sent a bunch of emails out to a bunch of, Jimmy Kimmels and Alec Baldwins and stuff like that. And a lot of them returned an email, but I wanted to return it to them, but I couldn't return it to them.
You had to go find a library.
Yeah. Never been to the, goddamn.
And you have people to check into flights for you. Imagine you're, weary traveler du jour, and you're tracking into flights, or you're trying to get this done, Uber to the airport.
Well, was Mike August very overly accommodating?
Well, the my problem is I'm like some sort of, in the Guinness Book of World Records, you see the Indian chick with the fingernails. They're 17 inches long, which basically says to the world, I do nothing for myself. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Okay.
And when I'm traveling, it's like Matt's got the itinerary, Mike's got the itinerary, Mike's checking into the planes, checking the flights, checking the rental cars, got the contact numbers from the whatever. I'm just going from place to place. So I don't have any tools. I'm basically like, if you raised a bear cub in captivity and then shoved him out into the forest. Right. I'm totally fucked.
You couldn't afford your own berries.
Oh, I'm standing in that Apple store looking around going, what do I got to blow to get a new phone over here? And then I'm like, what do? Just mash them against each other? Or like you get them to mate?
Tape them.
How's it work? You tape them to each other. And it was a SIM card. And I was like, is everything on this? And well, then the guy could have piped up at some point. It was the fastest $600 the guy ever made in his life. He's like, look, give me the phone. What color would you? That doesn't matter. Which one you want? Just give me the big one.
Whatever you have the most of.
This what I got the most of. You want the coverage? No. And literally, when I'm leaving, the guy's like, you want the box? And I said, no, I don't need the box, because all I'm doing is I'm treating it like a pair of Vans. I'm treating it like I just bought some shoes. Right. And they're like, oh, what about the box? And you're like, I got a place to keep my weed. Like, I don't need the box. And I'm leaving, and I'm still traveling. What do I need? My luggage is full. Like, what do I need a box for? Later on, somebody pointed out that the charger was in the box.
Power cord, yeah.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Could have been something.
Yeah.
Could have been something that the fella brought up. He didn't say, do you want the earbuds and do you want the power cord? He said, you want the box.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he was just so defeated by being told no so many times in 10 seconds that he just stopped asking?
I think in his mind, because he lives in the vortex of that world, that there's no Philistine like myself who walks in there who does not know what that box contains.
Sure. Right.
So when I'm saying I don't want the box, in his mind, I'm saying...
You want the accessories.
I don't want the accessories. Now... Seeing as how he knows I don't know shit about anything because he's asking me what my billing address is, and I'm going, I got a piece of paper, my wallet here somewhere. Let me, you know, who's your carrier? I don't know. I don't know what it is. Name some. Maybe one will sound familiar. Get it off the SIM card. Like, seeing as how I've not had a suitable answer, your mom's maiden name, I don't know, cuntis, something. I don't know. Like, considering I'm the guy who's not tech savvy at all, considering I don't know who my carrier is, or I've not provided one answer.
Right.
Yet, maybe I would fall under the category of the guy who wasn't sure what was in the box. Uh-huh. And the box is not that big. It's just a box that I didn't need to pack, right, in my mind. But he probably could have piped up and said, the charger for that device that you're taking is inside of this thing.
Sorry, do you want to leave it at another movie theater so this one can get broken? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, now thankfully the last plug worked on the new one as well, so all was good. But yeah, Apple guys, in the future, if someone's leaving without it, make sure, just make sure that they know what they're leaving behind.
Size up your customer is the point.
Do a little profiling.
Well, you just called it the box. Now, if I'm buying a refrigerator, I don't need the box. Uh-huh. But if the power cord for the refrigerator and the manual for the ice maker is in there, then please alert me to that fact. All right. Sorry.
So it's not eventful.
Oh, like I could keep going going.
You gotta spread these stories out, man.
Yeah, we need to spread them out. The other thing that drives me nuts about Mike August is we had a liaison, our publicist in New York was a really sweet kid who made a mistake of telling me he never misses WrestleMania and he always takes his mom.
Wow.
Wow.
Holy moly.
Wow.
It's intense.
But he's a real sweet kid. But he had a cadence. He had a talking cadence where he didn't go. He wouldn't say, I'm going to go to the office. He'd go, I'm going to go to the office. He'd go down on his last couple of syllables.
He'd dovetail as
a syllable. Dip back
it was
like
a weird way. All I could think of the whole time is Gary, if you can pull up the Burcham pilot, like the 9-minute pilot, there's this part toward the end where Burcham has to go to sensitivity training and the counselor is speaking to him. And he had the same kind of thing. And me, Mike, and Gary rode an SUV. Mm-hmm. Everywhere with this guy for 5 days, nonstop. And I would say, Lee's got a weird cadence, doesn't he? Super sweet with a weird cadence. And Gary's like, yeah, what is that? And Mike's like, huh? Like, his cadence, you go down on it. You've been talking to the guy for 5,000 miles while we drive all around Manhattan for 5 days. You didn't hear the weird, I guess that weird goes down instead of up at the end? No.
Well, it didn't involve a candy bar. It
didn't involve food. But Gary, you can back me up on the weird, super weird, nice, but super weird cadence, right?
Oh, very, very nice kid. But yeah, the cadence was wildly noticeable. And the fact that August just was adamant that he had never noticed it was insane to both of us.
Yes. I had to revisit that with him again on the train. And he still stood by his guns.
Were you losing words at the end or you could hear his whole sentence?
No, you could hear it. It was just a style.
We all know the annoying girl version of this, which is, I'm going to go to Starbucks.
It's up talk.
I'm going to get a Frappuccino.
Yeah, it's up talk.
He would do, like, I'm going to WrestleMania with my mom. My mom. Like, he'd go down. I can't explain it. It was just a weird cadence.
Let's get him on the phone.
Sweet guy. All right, we'll pull that up. I'll see if it reminds Gary of that. But and by the way, then introduced him later to Stone Cold Steve Austin, which blew his goddamn mind.
Good for, made the kid's day.
All right.
His mom was there.
All right. Let's see. Do you? We showed the picture that Mike took backstage at the upfronts. We put it up on the website, I think, but I don't know if you guys.
I don't think I've seen it.
Ever saw the picture? Who the hell was I talking
is
to?
It Spike?
Yeah, it was backstage I was backstage talking to Ben Kingsley.
Oh, Sir Ben Kingsley.
Oh, I did hear about this.
And I was talking about it on the podcast, but we were up on stage at Caroline's and Artie kept butting in and all that kind of shit. We didn't really get to the story, but Kingsley, Sir Ben, was just sitting there all alone in this weird, cavernous, dark, crazy place that you can only find in New York City.
The artsy loft type place?
No. A bank, and we'll find a picture of it. Whatever. This was a place that used to be a bank, but it looked like Grand Central Station.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
and I mean the ceiling within the tents, tapestries and frescoes and everything. Marble everywhere and a ceiling that was like, when they used to do ceilings that were 7 stories high just in one room, just because they could. Like now...
Oh God!
It would be all. We're looking at a picture of it now.
That's opulent.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. But here's the thing that was funny. People would say to me, people told me 3 times, this used to be a bank. And at a certain point, I was standing in a part of the room where they had the pen holders, but they were forged out of gold. It was like 9 feet tall and all this stuff. And I was like, it was back in the day where they would go, hey, you know where all your money's going? Look at this.
Yeah.
Now everyone was like, shit, get me a P.O. box. We'll do it online. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't work today because you'd walk in now and go, how much did that chandelier cost?
Not overhead in this bank.
Literally a vaulted ceiling overhead with,
a Duomo.
It's a Roman-esque.
Yeah.
And it is unbelievably opulent. And like I said, you'd go, well, this is where, how much money are you guys making off of me that you can afford this in the middle of Manhattan? And no one would ever do that anymore. But
what were you talking to Sir Ben about?
I was talking to Sir Ben because he was like, there was The Rock was back there and LL Cool J and everybody was back there and hanging and talking and just John Krasinski and Stephen, what's his name from Hello Ladies and all the different guys and Dave Navarro and everybody was
sorry.
There.
This is the Spike TV upfronts.
Yeah, they got a huge cast coming out, all different shows, everything. Chrissy Teigen's out there, everyone's out there, and Sir Ben is just sitting alone. It's dark. Mm-hmm. He's sitting on this like wooden bench, sort of tucked in a corner, tucked away. Place was dark and <it's great>. And he's just sitting there alone and he's got his publicist next to him and I'm like, I feel bad for the guy. I'm gonna go talk to him. I don't know. I know
he's only a living legend of acting.
Yeah. So
everyone wants to talk to Dave fucking Navarro.
I go talk to him. I love Dave Navarro.
Ben Kingsley.
So everyone's intimidated.
Okay.
Everyone's scared shitless.
Okay.
I mean, The Rock standing there. The Rock's scared. Everyone's scared.
Okay.
Rock had to go for extra arm butter. He was so fucking scared. He had to double down on the butter. Okay. He asked me if I had any Paba with me. I said, no, I don't carry.
Fresh
out of coconut butter, but he had to go back to the limo and get some more.
Okay.
But either way, I think he's got a guy who does it.
Yeah, it's a good publicist. How's that?
He's got a belt with a big vat on the side of
Carrie
it. The guy pulls out one of those cake frosting spatulas and just does him up real fast, Because when he starts to dry out.
Thin coat.
Yeah. So everyone's scared to talk to Sir Ben. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm standing right next to the guy. And I just start talking to him. And he turns out he's a little bit of a gearhead. And he lives in England. I'm talking about the Goodwood Festival and coming out and doing shows out in September and that kind of stuff.
The Jaguar campaign was the big Super Bowl thing he did last year.
Oh,
the
right.
Villains. He was the main guy.
Yeah, and so he's talking about Spitfires and Lancasters, old British airplanes and stuff like that, and just getting into where he lives in England and spreading the time back and forth between Beverly Hills and all that kind of stuff. So we have kind of a nice talk, and I move on. We go somewhere else, and we go through our rehearsals and talk to some other guys. And then we're getting ready to start the show, and they let all the press in, and the place gets, we're getting ready to start now. And that's a huge place, and there's, 500 people in the audience or whatever. And just because I think it'd be funny, I go back over to him, and he's still sitting on the bench. So I just take a knee, and I get down, and I go, all right, Ben. Probably got some butterflies about now. I mean, being up on stage for the first time and all that kind of stuff in front of everybody.
Upwards of 500.
Right. Now, I'm a guy who's been on stage a lot. A lot. I'm not bragging, but I've been around a lot. I know how to handle myself on stage, and I know you're probably pretty freaked out about now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take some advice from a guy who's been on stage. Just look over the top. Just when you're looking out into the audience, don't establish eye contact with anybody. Just look over the top. Look over the horizon. Because if you look down, you see somebody, establish eye contact, you'll get nervous, it'll throw you off your game. You understand? Mm-hmm. And he just sits there, some pauses, and he goes, I'm going to look at the blonde girl. And I said, Ben, you're making a huge mistake, buddy. And he said, I'm going to look at the blonde. Now, by the way, he doesn't even know who's out there, so he's just fucking around at this point because no one's been on stage yet. No one knows who the blonde girl is. And I go, it's your funeral. I'm telling you, I've been on stage. I've been on stage a lot. Uh-huh. Understand? And I can handle myself on stage. You look down. You establish eye contact with the blonde girl. You're going to lose your place. You're going to get nervous.
That's all you're thinking about.
It's going to show. Right. And you're going to crash and burn out there, buddy. And he's like, I'm going to look at the blonde girl. I said, Ben, look over the horizon. I'm not doing this. It's not a criticism. It's not a critique. I'm trying to help you. I'm going to look at the blonde girl. I said, all right.
Yes, and, Ben.
I know. It'll be your funeral. And then he said, later on, he said, I said, fine. Look at the blonde girl. And then I said, I'm going to be down in September for the Goodwood Festival. I think that's in Chichester, England, outside of London. And he said, I think I was at a theater in Chichester once. I said, yeah, well, serving popcorn, cleaning up. This is different. This is on stage. Yeah. It's a totally different animal.
People are going to be looking at me.
They're going to be looking at you. Now, you're standing back, serving them up refreshments. He was like, I'm looking at the blonde. I was like, all right. His publicist loved it, by the way, because I don't think anyone bothers with him. But the picture, it is. Did you take that or did Mike take that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I took that.
Mike was eating.
He doesn't,
free food back there.
Maybe it was the lighting, but he doesn't look particularly warm in that picture. But he's, from your story, he seems lovely.
He doesn't seem like an approachable guy. He's a perfectly nice guy. I talked to him for 20 minutes back and forth, and he was lovely, but the way he sits there with the sir in front of his name makes people not want to get him. I saw his publicist the next day at Sirius XM, and I was like, come on, phoner. Come on, at least a phoner. Because when Tut comes out, I need a phoner.
Is that the show that's going
to be? Okay. Yeah, so she's like, I think we can work it out.
Have you guys seen the movie Sexy Beast?
Yes.
You both seen it?
Yeah.
He's so good in it. He plays like the bad guy, like the villain of villains, and he is so terrifying. For a small-ish guy, he's terrifying.
He brings it. Wow. And how great was he as himself in The Sopranos?
That's right. He was
great. Little guys. Great run.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is it's all in the eyes. You know, it doesn't even matter. It's like the Fonz. The Fonz is Henry Winkler. Yeah. He's a Jewish guy who's 5'7" and a half, but he scared the shit out of everyone because he just carried it right.
Yep. He can be Gandhi, not Henry Winkler, but
Canty.
He can be Gandhi, Sir Ben, or he can be Sexy Beast, the most terrifying guy on the screen.
That's where the sir comes from. All right, Garrity, have the sensitivity counselor from the Bertram pilot. Let's see if it sounds like him or not. You got to replay it and turn the volume up, please. Take a phone call. Bring Michael DeBar out here.
And that's why when you describe the teen who stole your wallet as Hispanic, well, it just wasn't relevant. It was insensitive.
All right. Yeah, that's sort of what Lee... That was Lee's sound.
His vibe.
Yeah, it was his vibe.
Yeah.
And loved him, but also loved Mike August saying in front of Stone Cold, this guy's got your action figure on his desk.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, then later when Lee kind of said, I really didn't need you to say I had his action figure, August goes, I didn't say it was a doll.
Oh. Yeah, right. Called it an action figure. Yeah, been to 14 WrestleManias. Got his 15th coming up in a couple weeks, and going out to San Jose with his mom.
That's incredible.
With mama.
With mom.
With mom.
Now, to be fair, have either of you been to a WrestleMania?
I've been to some events, but not a WrestleMania.
They're great. They're fun. I used to go all the time.
I haven't been to a fucking Olive Garden with my mom.
But with your mom.
But here's
that's a tradition.
Right.
That's a yearly tradition.
I am going to put together a list of, you know, they have that, you know, fuck, kill, or marry.
Right.
My thing is jealous or choke the life out of. Because, like, there's a part of
it's
me that's like,
line.
There's part of me like, you're an adult with a beard. You have a beard, you're an adult male. And there's part of me that's like, what the fuck? And then there's part of me that's so insanely jealous. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way. These guys are coming from, I don't know, he's out in Long Island or something. They're coming from Long Island to Sacramento. They're coming from Jersey to Sacramento, wherever the fuck they're playing. San Jose. Yeah. I mean, that's a long trek with
Sojourn,
mom to see guys in their underpants hit each other with chairs.
Right. You're not going to be in the ring.
He's an adult.
Be probably a couple sections back.
Yeah, I'm just saying, are we jealous?
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous of anyone. You know what? I like tradition. A tradition like that, even if that one particularly is not for me. Something you do every year with someone you love or with a friend or a parent or whoever. I like tradition. I like something you go back to and do every year.
But do you think neither of them actually want to do this, but they think the other one wants them there?
That's possible.
No. He's counting the days. And by the way, he slipped in this little tidbit, too. One year, Mama had to move the daughter's bachelorette party so that she could attend the WrestleMania before going to the bachelorette party. And I'm like, okay, would you ever dream of inviting your dad to your bachelor party? I couldn't fucking
that's old school, man.
Imagine or your mom to your bachelorette party. Hey, Ma, you want to suck off this cock straw? Well, the guy with the banana hammock rubs a shit in her face.
Here's a penis necklace.
Oh, my fucking God.
This is like the family.
I told Lee, you made a huge mistake because I'm going up on stage. That was a huge mistake. But God bless him, fucking Howie Mandel. He got me sidetracked. Mm-hmm. I was going to do 20 minutes on this and Howie started going, you know, Howie started doing what Howie does. And
Howie do it.
Howie do it. That's right. Fabian.
Yes, sir.
27 San Diego.
Yeah, hey, Ace Man, how you doing? Bob Bryan, Gina, love the show yesterday.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, I love watching cops, but I hate watching the fat cops trying to chase, you know, skinny black guys and can't catch them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want...
Yeah, they don't have to be. They're not all black guys. There's some black girls in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not all just dudes.
Jamaican, Dominican.
Thank you.
But I want to apply your wedding dress rule to this, to like cops, to where when they come out of the academy, you know, whatever they weigh, what they have to stay at, or, you know, once they start gaining weight, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I've seen some really fat ass cops. I've seen some like morbidly obese cops. I'll tell you the way I would do it. Here's the way I would do it with cops. When you're at the training academy, when you're done with basic training, let's get you fitted for a little body armor. And by the way, this shall be it.
That's the only one you get.
Yeah. So if you want to outgrow, if you would like to have your gun or your sides slop out of this thing, 9 inches on each side, that'll be up to you. But the taxpayer ain't footing the bill for it. So formally, your body armor covered, you know, 86% of your chest. Mm-hmm. If you want to get it down into the low 40s, keep eating.
Right.
But this
your
is
funeral.
Your, this will be your flak jacket. It's got your name on it, and that's it. It's got the date. You graduated the academy, right? You know, you're 186 pounds right now. Here's a large or medium flak jacket. That is it.
Okay.
If you'd like to balloon up later on donuts and sitting around holding the fucking radar gun too long under the overpass, that'll be your business. The thing that protects you from bullets, that ain't changing. The thing that accepts bullets, your body, do that with what you wish. I'll be fine with that.
It's motivational.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
And that was a clip from 2015. Thank you to Fabian for requesting that before we...
I don't even know who you are, man.
We don't. Is that the same Fabian? Could we have more than one Fabian? One that requested a clip and one that called in?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. But if you want to request a clip, it's very easy. You can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. We love hearing you guys, what you want to hear. And if you just want to just talk about the show, we like that too. Maybe we'll read some on air, because we're all fans of the show together. And
that
fun.
Last clip, we didn't mention that Adam went over the death of Wendell Middlebrooks. Did you ever meet him?
I never did, to be honest. Oh, wait. I did, in Roadhard. I forgot. Yeah. He was in Roadhard. He had the
That's
scene.
What they're talking about. Yeah, there was his death, and they were talking about the most recent time he worked with him. Was he a nice guy?
Very, very nice. I can't say that I had a huge interaction with him, because they were working, but I never
They told
the
story of
podcast.
Having to break it to Dag, that they gave his part to Wendell Brooks. And then they went over the part where Adam does phone, the guy was bringing the phone out to him, like Minnesota, and slipped the phone. Hey, Ace Man, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he calls in the clip, and he has the $300 gift card for Apple for Adam, which you got the email from the dude.
That's right. And I knew. Right when I got that email, I went, all right, so the first half of the show's covered.
People just heard it. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. I love these like rare moments. That's literally 5 years ago. It's like, that's 5 years ago? It's like you just forget that these things happen. Yeah. It's like, they happen, and they happen to Adam. And hilarious.
And I, even though I didn't have a big conversation with Wendell Middlebrooks, you can tell by some of the clips we've played in the past that he is a very nice guy. And he will be.
Yeah, everybody seems to love him. Everybody has nice things to say about him. Stole tragedy. One of the rare times Adam gets choked up on air. It's... If you're a great person, Adam's going to cry about you on his podcast.
That's right. I agree with that 1,000,000%. All right.
He's never going to cry about you.
Before we get out of here, I want to first off remind everybody, if you own or rent your home, then of course it's hard work, but you know it's easy.
Bundling policies with Geico. You got your automotive policy. You got your homeowner's insurance policy. You got your renter's insurance policy. You might got some other policies. Bundle with Geico.
Bundle them up. And it's a good thing, because you already have so much to do around your home. So
I do way too much.
You do way too much. To make it easy on you, go to Geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. How easy is it?
It's Geico easy. Geico easy!
Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Also, once again, cheers, everybody. Thank you to Screwball Whiskey for helping us all relax and enjoy the weekend one shot at a time. We love you guys. And we will be back tomorrow, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classic for that podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. We've got a great show ahead. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
If you don't like Cobra clips, quit listening.
Uh-oh.
Mahalo and get it on.